Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nevishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyam Namo Namaha. So yesterday we had a wonderful festival. We had the festival that Krishna desired. And how happy we all were. How happy all the people in Braj were. They wholeheartedly, we wholeheartedly gave ourselves to that celebration. And we felt tremendous pleasure. And we forgot all about King Indra. He was inconsequential. And yet, Indra didn't forget about us. When the Govardhan festival was complete, the people of Braj did not want to leave. They wished to remain there with Krishna forever. They wanted to see his beautiful lotus face, just to stare at him. Nevertheless, they slowly returned to their villages, talking excitedly amongst themselves about what a wonderful festival we just had. Meanwhile, sitting amongst the demigods, Indradev felt angry, distressed, and offended. Seeing that his sacrifice had been cancelled, he wondered why the whole day had passed and no puja was offered to him. So he sent his spies to Vrindavan. And they wandered around here and there, listening to the talk of the Braj people. And they were not very happy with what they heard. The whole community was in the same mood. This is what they were saying. They were saying, Giriraj Baba is such a great devata, and he accepted all our offerings and then he gave everything back as prasad. He talked to us. He offered us blessings. For so many generations we have worshipped this Indra and he never became satisfied. He never came. He never showed himself to us. He never cared. So what is the use of such worship? From now on, we will only worship Giriraj Baba. He is the greatest devata. Now, Indra's spies, they thought that the people of Braj had gone crazy. How could they have forgotten Maharaj Indra, who is the king of the devatas? He was appointed the king by Lord Brahma himself. How could these stupid, foolish village people give up his worship and instead worship a pile of rocks. This shows the level of their intelligence. They laughed at the villagers' simplicity. And they returned to Indraloka. And they informed Indradev, who asked what they had heard. They said, "This year's celebration was several times larger than previously, with so many offerings, feasting, music, dancing, and singing." "Who was being worshipped?" Indra inquired. The servants replied, "My lord, a mountain was being worshipped. All your offerings were given to a pile of rocks. And what's more, in every home they were complaining about you. And they were saying, 'This mountain Devata, he loves us so much. And from now on, we will only worship him.'" Indra, he trembled with rage. He was furious. His eyes were red with anger, and his lips were trembling. "Look at the pride of these villagers. Under the influence of this talkative, ignorant, naive child, they have dared to offend me. I am so powerful. How can anyone oppose me and survive? My glories are spread in all directions. My glories are spread everywhere. Because of a few cows, these men have become so proud. Although they do not even have proper homes, they live in the forest. They dwell in the forest, and still they have dared to offend me. They are too proud. And Krishna has fanned the fire of their pride. He lives with these people. I have been maintaining these men by regularly giving them their rain, but they have now forgotten. Their intelligence has become so impure. They must be taught a lesson. They must be taught a lesson. If one puts his hand into the fire, what can be done? Is it the fault of the fire if it burns? I will show them their mistake. Using my vajra, I will smash this mountain to pieces, and I will send it to the hellish planets. And those people who danced and danced and danced, they should also be destroyed. And that Nanda, he should see them. He should see them all being destroyed. And then, after he has seen this with his eyes, I will kill him too. We will see how much fun there is in worshipping a big Devata. They complain about me. They say there is no Devata bigger than this Giri. Well, I will show them this big mountain when I dig it out and I wash it all the way to the ocean. There will be so much flood, no one will survive. There will be no trace left of this place. They have offended me, and I will destroy them. In furious anger, Indra ordered his ministers to bring the Samvantaka cloud without delay. Now this cloud, it's used when the destruction of the whole universe is required. And this cloud is kept in bonds, it's kept tied up, so that it cannot cause any danger at any other time. When Indra ordered his men to bring that cloud, the cloud came. But the cloud and his ministers were very, very, very frightened. They were afraid that something was going to happen to them. Indra addressed this dangerous cloud. These Ahiras have offended me. I have given them everything, but they have ignored me. You have the ability to destroy the whole universe. But this assignment involves only a very small region. Destroy Vrindavan. On Indra's orders, the clouds and the cloud devatas marched rapidly towards Vrindavan. The wind devatas blew very fast. The wind was blowing so fast. And from the north, black clouds started to appear. The sound of the thunder was not like anything that anyone here has ever heard. It was the sound that is created at the time of the destruction of the universe. Seeing these dangerous omens, the men quickly brought the cows into the barns. And then a vast bank of clouds, looking like a huge patch of moss in the sky, blocked out the sun and began to cover Vrindavan in total darkness. Total darkness. Everyone looked up at the sky. The gopas and the gopis became very scared. They were thinking, what will happen next? They were going inside their homes and coming out of their houses and looking at the sky and looking at the clouds and saying, they're so frightening. This is very dangerous. Then suddenly it became so dark that no one could see. No one could see. the ladies could not find their children in the dark. And they began calling to their children, calling their names, but they couldn't find them. The cowherd men who had gone to graze the cows in the forest were coming back, and suddenly they couldn't find their way. And they were so anxious because they couldn't take care of the calves or the cows. And everyone was spread out all over the village, and they could not see anyone. As they searched for their homes, they called out in great panic. They called out to other people for help. Some gopas were saying, "We did not worship Indra, and now he is very angry." And others said, "Yesterday we did that puja, and today already we are getting the result. Krishna gave us this new puja, and now it seems that Indra is going to destroy Vraj." First, the people had taken shelter of their courtyards and strongholds or cottages or banyan trees and the slopes, trying to avoid the rain, the flooding, and the winds. But then they were so afflicted with the blasts of the winds that were smashing down trees and made terrifying sounds. And then the rain began to fall and water was dripping from the dome-like covering of the universe. And the drops were moving so fast that they formed a continuous stream of water speeding through the universe like a raging river breaking over its dam. Such a thing will never happen again. The cows tried to shelter their calves under the blankets of the loose skin on their necks. In fear of the slashing rainwater, they kept their eyes almost closed and their tails hanging down straight. While shivering uncontrollably from the violent rains, the skin on their backs swelled up. When the rain hit the horns of the bulls, it bounced off and landed on their thick, fatty humps and broke into small pearl-like drops and rolled down their broad, muscular backs. Alas, alas, the fierce rainfall angered and tormented those bulls. While standing in this painful condition, they looked towards Krishna for shelter. Observing the torrents of rain, which now fell in columns as thick as the trunks of full-grown trees, like water coming down like this, the cowherd men thought that the universal devastation had definitely arrived. And terrified and weakened, they also approached Krishna, who makes everybody happy. Full of pain and agony, they said, "O Krishna, you always save us and give us protection. Now we are in great danger. Look, The earth is quickly submerged by the flood, and we cannot even distinguish the lowland from the highland. Look around. See for yourself. The Surabi cows are using their own bodies to protect the calves from the pelting hailstones. Vast, powerful hailstones were coming. With tear-filled eyes, they are speaking to you. And look at the bulls. Upon hitting the humps, the hailstones are being ground into pieces and scattered on the ground like pearls. Their eyes reddened with rage, the bulls raise their heads and look angrily at the clouds. Their faces and their bodies are completely drenched in water. Alas, how much they are suffering. This devastation appears like the personification of a big anarta which we cannot remove. Only you can deliver us. Therefore we surrender unto you. We are your loving kinsmen, so please save us. O Lord of Gokul, you should immediately protect us. On Krishna's command, they all went to Giriraj Govardhan. Looking up at the great hill, they stayed there. Shri Krishna then said, if Indra sends a great hurricane to destroy us, then Giriraj, the great king of all the mountains, who has accepted us all as his dependents, will mercifully give us all protection. The people were standing at the base of the hill, waiting for Krishna to rescue them. And the violent clouds were thundering, the torturous wind was felling trees, and the people were waiting for Krishna. In a compassionate voice, Krishna consoled them and said, do not be afraid. This trouble is as insignificant as a hunger pain is to one who has just consumed a huge feast. Anyone who practices devotional service can easily remove all anartas. For your benefit, I will now enact a special pastime to destroy Indra's mountain of pride. Krishna has a beautiful body, which is as sweet as the honey and flowers. Now, without even tightening his cloth, he showed complete indifference to the mighty wrath of Indra. Instantly, with one hand, he picked up Govardhan and held it aloft with no more effort than a child takes to pick up a mushroom, or an elephant uses to pick up a clump of grass. Many loud sounds sounded in all directions when the mountain began to rise up in the air. Giriraj. Imagine if Giriraj rose up in the air right now, rising up, up, up in the air. The echoes in the caves sounded like a bunch of rowdy children. And the noises in the caves and the lifting of Govardhan Hill produced an angry sound. And that furious sound roamed round and round and round and round within the covering of the universe. The flowers that fell down from the trees appeared to be the form of Giriraj's ecstatic laughter due to being touched by the lotus hand of Krishna. This looked like the celebration of Indra's destruction. And as the hill went higher and higher and higher, the rows of trees on the top of Giriraj challenged the trees in Indra's celestial forest. Giriraj served Gokul as a jewel-bedecked umbrella that could not be moved by the fierce winds or the piercing razor-sharp lightning, balanced on the beautiful emerald pole of Krishna's raised arm, Giriraj cast a pleasing radiance over everyone. And the rain now coming down on the sides of Giriraj looked like streams of dripping pearls. Although Krishna and Balaram had not discussed whether Krishna should lift up this hill, out of love they knew each other's hearts. And so it appeared that they had carefully discussed it. Krishna pulled Balaram to his side and he said to the people, he said, "Only if your anxiety makes me tremble will this king of mountains fall from my hand. So please enter, enter, enter underneath the hill at once." Out of love, all the cowherd people at once entered under Govardhan Hill. Although they were afraid, they did not actually enter seeking protection. By entering under the hill and by also calling for protection, they were simply thinking how to take care of Krishna and how to serve him. So they entered the hill with their hearts thirsting only to please Krishna. Tomorrow night, we will hear what it was like under that wonderful protection of Giriraj under the hill. Thank you. Hare Krishna.